number of factors are responsible for oblique banded leaf roller being really the most challenging fruit feeding or direct pest of apple in New York State. First of all, its life cycle is out of sync with that of most other orchard pests as it overwinters as a partly grown larva and begins feeding immediately in the spring as soon as the temperature is warm. So this ends up requiring extra pesticide applications specifically targeted against the summer populations. In addition, it has developed resistance to many of the conventional pesticide products, such as the OPs and pyrethroids, so effective management requires the use of selective specialty products such as BT, insect growth regulators, microbials, etc. Even so, it's still very difficult to completely eliminate the damage from this pest. In high-pressure situations, which are many, fruit damage of 1 to 3% at harvest is considered common. It has capacity for long flights and some other behavioral traits that make it generally unsuitable for mating disruption. Together with this, we've had a fairly incomplete understanding of the role of such things as habitat, alternate hosts, adult movement, natural enemies, on the incidence of fruit infestation. For instance, overwintered larvae can often be found fairly easily in unmanaged or feral sites, but then the summer populations are negligible, and this is essentially the opposite of what occurs in commercial orchards. Sampling for larvae is not always a reliable indicator of population pressure. So for instance, in some previous studies, we attempted to eradicate the overwinter generation in 5-acre plots in order to eliminate summer population damage. But despite our ability to end up with extremely low larval numbers, both at bloom and then during the July sampling period, fruit damage occurred at harvest the same as before. So this year we set up trials with quite a bit larger plots and three commercial farms in western New York that had a history of OBLR infestation, and they ranged from 18 to 33 acres. The last two sites, the largest ones, were essentially self-contained whole farm units. We used an unrealistically aggressive early season program, once again, to eradicate the overwinter generation of larvae. The growers applied Intrepid at Pink Bud. At one site, the grower insisted on putting on Dipel at bloom because that's what he always does. And then at Petal Fall, the growers came back and applied Proclaim. And a couple of post-Petal Fall sampling sessions verified that we were, in fact, quite successful in virtually eliminating the larvae from these plantings. We monitored the summer generation of adults, at least the adult males, using a network of pheromone traps located at different orchard strata. So along the orchard edge, 20 to 30 meters in toward what we call the mid-interior, and then another 20 to 30 meters along toward the center. And we did this on all four ordinal sides of the farm. So this resulted in a 12-station double transect, cross transect, really, throughout the planting. We took weekly terminal and eventually fruit infestation samples at each of these stations beginning in late June, counting 500 samples per station for a total of 6,000 per farm every week. And we informed the growers of the results of these weekly counts, and some of them even used this information for their management decisions. But our intention was really to come away with a good temporal and spatial picture of the summer larval reinfestation patterns in these plantings. So here are pictures of the sites where we worked. You can see that all of them have woods on at least some of the sides bounding the plantings. A couple of them had were adjacent to other commercial plantings of apples. And then at one site, the Ferber site, there was an abandoned orchard along the south edge. To give you an idea of the pheromone trap locations, here's a representative site, the Apple Acres site, and we had pheromone traps along the orchard edge, further in the mid-interior, and then further in toward the center. And you notice that at each of these strata, we actually have two traps, and we took the mean count for the data. And then we did this along all the remaining sides, so we end up with something resembling a sort of a cross transect. To sample the infestation of the larval infestations of terminals and fruit, we went back to these same sites and took our 500 count samples in each of them, so we ended up with a fairly thorough picture of what was going on throughout the plantings. Now I'll just show you some representative data from one of the sites because, in fact, they were all fairly similar. The Apple Acres site here, and first of all, for the pheromone trap catches, although we took weekly readings of the pheromone traps, I pooled 2 week samples just for the purposes of this talk. So the first couple of weeks in June, as the first summer flight was beginning, and you can see the general trends here, going further into June and into July, where the peak flight of that first summer generation. The next couple of weeks as that first flight was subsiding, and then finally the two middle weeks in August corresponding to the second summer flight. And what I would point out is obviously there seems to be a trend of higher moth catches around the orchard edges, higher than in the center certainly, and the size of the circles correspond with general numbers of insects caught per trap. Now, in contrast, then show you some of the infestation data for the foliage and fruit. The first couple weeks of July, you can see the infestation of terminals fairly uniform throughout the entire planting. The next 2 weeks, a little bit higher levels, but still about the same trend. And these 4 weeks of samples correspond with sampling for foliar infestation. So we looked at terminals, and what you're seeing here is percent terminals infested. Going into July and August, this is the damage to the developing fruits, and then finally the damage to the fruit at harvest as evaluated in September. And essentially what I would point out here is that unlike the pheromone trap catches, there is no real trend for aggregation of damage in any one spot, at least that we can tell so far. It's not entirely surprising that larval infestation should vary somewhat from what we see in the location of the male moths, but we were kind of hoping for a real clear-cut indication that there was maybe a trend for more damage on the edges or close to woods or along some compass point, but that didn't happen. Nonetheless, if it's true that fruit damage or larval damage of any sort tends to be relatively uniformly distributed any place in these rather large plantings, then it would serve as a good reason to be able to sample pretty much anywhere for damage in the farm in these rather large plantings to make as a basis for making management decisions. So it's not entirely all disappointing. Taking a look at all of the harvest damage of the fruit in all the sites across the three farms, you can see that the damage levels tend to predominate around the 1 to 2% level. There were two sites where on two of the farms the highest damage occurred on the edges adjacent to woods, but in the third site over here in the Ferber site, this same trend was not evident. Averaging all of the fruit damage across the farm, each of the farms, you see that we ended up with fairly low fruit damage in general, but you'll notice that it does still fall in that 1 to 3% range that I said is common. So just to give an assessment of what we've seen so far, although large numbers of adults were caught in the traps all throughout all of the orchards, the subsequent infestations, larval infestations in the terminals and damage to the fruit remained quite low during the season in all the blocks. There were no substantial differences that we could tell among adult catches, larval infestation levels, or fruit damage in the different strata of the orchards. There was some indication of an edge effect in pheromone trap catches of males, but little evidence of distribution trends of any sort in the foliar infestation or the fruit damage. And I would just note that this is so far because we have yet to finish the analysis of these data. Our results suggest that a large-scale or whole farm approach to managing OBLR might reduce the damage from summer generation larvae more effectively than treating individual blocks or small plots, and in fact this would conform pretty well with what most commercial growers do anyway in making their management decisions. The results of our weekly monitoring sessions suggest that sampling the fruit might better determine the treatment need and initial timing than our traditional practice of timing preventive sprays for first egg hatch and then sampling terminals for larvae. And considering that the kind of damage done by this pest is somewhat more superficial than that done by internal feeding leps such as coddling moth and oriental fruit moth, we might actually be able to develop a fruit damage threshold for optimizing the economics of making management decisions for oblique banded leaf roller in our orchards. So I'd just like to acknowledge our grower cooperators, our tireless technical assistants for helping us go through all of these samples, and the cooperators in the crop protection sector for donation of pesticides and traps, as well as funding support from USDA. Thanks very much.
Time for one or two questions?
Nope, I have Charles.
Is this a long-term experiment? How many years will you conduct such a...
Yeah. The question is, how long will we do this? And I'm not sure. It depends on how strong we are. We might try it again, because we were actually a little bit disappointed we didn't have more pressure. I mean, it seemed to be a little bit less than normal this year, so we would have liked to. Possibly, yeah, that would be good, if the growers will have us.
Because in Switzerland, Charlie, you're used to tell people that you have to think long term. In other words, 3 or 4 years, you know, with such an approach.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's not a criticism of what you do, it's just an interest in the long term.
Yeah, we are also interested more in what would happen if we keep doing this. So I think 1 year's data is just 1 year, and you know, maybe next time we get a little bit more moth pressure, more larval pressure.
So, thank you, Art.